Hey, everyone. Ready to dive into some serious political news?
Always.
All right. So, President-elect Trump's pick for Attorney General has everyone buzzing, to say the least. We're talking about Matt Gaetz.
Wow.
Yeah. And we're going deep on this one, folks.
Absolutely.
Got articles here from ABC News, Associated Press, CNN.
Oh, wow.
NPR, The New York Times, Reuters. And even the Washington Post.
Okay, they've got
all weighing in. So let's unpack what this means.
This is huge, you know. This isn't just another cabinet pick.
Right.
This is about the whole legal landscape for Trump's next term, potentially.
Yeah. Okay, so first things first, for those maybe not glued to every political headline, who is Matt Gaetz?
Okay, so he's been representing Florida in Congress since 2017, and he's been like a rock-solid Trump guy, you know, really vocal defender through all those controversies. But here's the thing, he's also been a pretty harsh critic of the DOJ.
Wait, so he could be running the agency he's been saying needs, like a total makeover?
Yeah, exactly.
That's got to be turning heads.
Totally. And he's not just, like, making vague complaints. The Washington Post has him on record, right?
But really?
Quotes about wanting to abolish the FBI if they don't, quote, come to heel.
Whoa. Okay, that's strong.
Yeah, this is suggesting some really big
potential
changes, how the whole DOJ works.
That is massive. I mean, the FBI is, like, the symbol of law enforcement in America.
Right.
What's Gaetz's vision here that would even lead him to say something like that?
Well, if you look at what he's been saying, it seems like he thinks the DOJ's gotten too big for its britches, you know, too much power. He's even accused them of being, like, weaponized against conservatives.
So it sounds like he wants to shift things, maybe make the department more accountable to different priorities, maybe.
Could be. And it's not just talk, right? This guy actually takes action. Like, he filed that legal brief supporting the FTC's ban on non-compete agreements.
Right.
That was in the New York Times, by the way.
Oh, interesting.
Which shows he's willing to go up against the established way of doing things, even in the business world. So this isn't some theoretical guy, you know?
Right, right. So we've got a Trump loyalist who's been saying the DOJ needs a shakeup and isn't afraid to make waves. I bet the reactions to this nomination are all over the place.
Oh, absolutely. Like, CNN and NPR were reporting actual gasps from House Republicans when they heard the news.
No way, right?
But yeah, and some are like, this is crazy. He'll never get confirmed.
Oh, wow.
Representative Max Miller, I think, said that. Yeah. He's in the New York Times. But then you have others, like Senator Lindsey Graham, who's saying, you know, he's a smart guy. Give him a fair hearing. ABC News had that one.
So even within the Republicans, there's a mix of shock and, I guess, cautious support, maybe.
Definitely. And it's not just the politicians, right? Even former DOJ officials are talking to the press.
Oh, really?
Yeah. There are concerns about, you know, politicization, what a Gaetz DOJ would mean for their traditional independence, that sort of thing.
Right. Okay. So lots of strong opinions flying around.
Definitely.
But before we get into all that, there's something we kind of have to address, right?
The DOJ investigation.
Yeah. ABC News, the Associated Press, Reuters, they all covered this pretty heavily.
Right, right.
And even though the DOJ decided not to file charges, it's definitely going to come up during those confirmation hearings.
Oh, for sure. It'll be interesting to see how Gaetz handles that. You know, he's denied any wrongdoing, but it's another layer to all this. I mean, leading an agency that investigated you, that takes some confidence.
Yeah, no kidding. And it raises the stakes even higher, right?
Yeah.
If he is confirmed, does this experience make him more likely to really shake things up, or will he be, you know, extra careful?
That's the million-dollar question, isn't it?
It is. And it all ties into something you said earlier, that close relationship he has with Trump. This isn't just politics. There's, like, personal trust there.
Right. And, you know, ABC News and The Washington Post were both reporting on Gaetz traveling with Trump and Elon Musk, like, right before the nomination.
Oh, wow.
Seems like Trump was playing this one close to the vest.
So we've got this bold pick, strong reactions, a complex backstory, and we're just getting started.
This is where it gets really interesting, right?
It does.
Because now we have to ask, what does a Gaetz Justice Department actually look like? What changes might he actually make?
Okay, so let's put on our prediction hats here. Based on everything we've seen and heard, where might his focus be?
Well, that whole weaponized criticism of the DOJ, that suggests he wants to shift the balance of power maybe away from what he sees as this big, out-of-control bureaucracy.
So less focus on the big federal agencies like the FBI. More on, I don't know, state and local law enforcement.
Yeah, maybe. He might be more into decentralizing things, making law enforcement more responsive to, you know, local communities. Don't forget, this guy built his career in Florida, where states' rights are a really big deal.
That's a great point. And that fits right in with his support for Trump's America First agenda, doesn't it? Putting American interests first.
Exactly. And that could even affect how the DOJ handles international stuff, like extradition treaties or working with foreign governments on, you know, terrorism, cybercrime, that kind of thing.
So less international cooperation, more focus on what directly benefits the U.S.
All right.
It's a pretty big change.
It is, yeah. And it's probably going to ruffle some feathers internationally, but it also taps into how a lot of Americans are feeling. Like the U.S. has gotten a raw deal on the global stage.
And Gates, as a strong Trump ally, seems to be picking up on that. He's definitely not afraid to shake things up, challenge the status quo, whether it's here at home or internationally.
That's what makes this so fascinating. It's not just about filling a cabinet position. This is potentially about changing the entire direction of the Justice Department and its role in America.
Okay, so huge potential changes on the horizon. But change, even if it's good, can be a little scary, right?
Yeah.
What are some of the concerns people are raising?
One of the big ones, and you see this in the New York Times and CNN, is that Gates might be too partisan, too willing to use the DOJ to push a political agenda.
So basically, the worry is that he'll weaponize the DOJ in the exact way he's been accusing the previous administration of doing.
Exactly. People are sensitive to that.
Yeah, definitely. And it's a valid concern, right? The Justice Department is supposed to be above politics, upholding the law fairly for everyone. Any hint of bias or favoritism could really damage its credibility.
Absolutely. And it erodes public trust, which is vital for the justice system to work.
That's a heavy responsibility. How do you think Gates would address that if he gets confirmed? What could he do to reassure people that he'll be fair and impartial?
Well, actions always speak louder than words, right? He'll need to show through his decisions and his appointments that he's committed to upholding the law, regardless of someone's political party.
So appointing career prosecutors who are known for their integrity, focusing on cases that are clearly in the public interest, that sort of thing.
Exactly. Putting together a team that reflects that commitment to fairness and impartiality, that's going to be key for Gates to build trust and calm those fears about politicization.
It sounds like he's got a tough job ahead of him. Balancing loyalty to Trump and his own strong beliefs with the need to be seen as a fair judge.
It's a delicate balancing act, for sure, but it's not impossible.
And it's not just about convincing the skeptics,
yeah,
right? It's also about getting support from those who believe in his vision.
Right. He needs to energize his base, the people who see him as a champion for their values.
So how does he do that and reach out to those who are unsure about him?
It's a tightrope walk. He'll need to articulate a clear vision for the DOJ that appeals to both his supporters and those who are on the fence. Something that emphasizes law and order, protecting American interests, and making sure the justice system is fair and accountable.
So finding that common ground, that shared purpose that goes beyond those partisan divisions.
Exactly. It's a tall order, but it's been done before. We've seen leaders bridge those divides and bring people together around a shared vision.
Okay, let's say Gates is confirmed. What might those first 100 days look like? What actions might he prioritize?
Well, based on what he's said and done, I think he'd move pretty quickly to address the things he's been most vocal about. We could see a shift in resources away from those big federal agencies and more towards state and local law enforcement.
So giving more power back to local communities, letting them have more control over how they police their own areas?
Exactly. That fits with his emphasis on states' rights and his belief that law enforcement should be more responsive to local needs.
What about those calls to abolish the FBI? Would we see that right away?
Probably not. Abolishing something as big and entrenched as the FBI, that's a huge undertaking. You'd need Congress to approve it, and there would be a lot of pushback from law enforcement itself.
So maybe more of a gradual restructuring, shifting priorities and resources over time.
That's more likely. He could start by appointing new leadership at the FBI, people who share his vision for a more streamlined, accountable agency.
And what about those criticisms he's made about how the DOJ handles investigations, especially those involving political figures? How might he approach that?
That's where things get really tricky. He has to be super careful to avoid any appearance of bias.
So no big investigations into political opponents or dropping charges against allies just because they're allies.
Exactly. He needs to show he's applying the law fairly to everyone, no matter their political affiliations.
It's a tough balancing act, for sure. And it's something that both his supporters and his critics will be watching very closely.
Absolutely. Every decision he makes will be scrutinized for any sign of partisanship or overreach.
It's like he's walking a tightrope. On one hand, he wants to shake things up, implement this bold new vision for the DOJ. On the other hand, he needs to be careful about fairness, impartiality, respecting the rule of law.
You got it. Those are the forces that are going to shape his time as Attorney General if he's confirmed.
Those are the forces that make this such a fascinating story to follow. It's not just about one man. It's about the future of the Justice Department and what role it plays in American society.
You're right. This nomination could change the legal landscape for years to come.
Okay, so we've covered a lot. Gates' background, the potential challenges, the historical context. But let's take a step back for a minute and talk about the bigger picture.
What do you mean?
Well, we're talking about the Justice Department. This institution has a long, complex history, full of both great successes and some pretty big failures.
True. And it's important to see this nomination in that historical light.
Exactly. I'm thinking about past attorneys general who faced similar challenges, navigating difficult political situations, making tough decisions with huge consequences.
Like who? Who are you thinking of specifically?
Well, people like Robert Kennedy, John Mitchell, Alberto Gonzalez, those kinds of figures.
Oh, yeah. Those are some interesting examples. They all left their mark on the Justice Department, for better or worse.
And what they went through offers some valuable lessons for Gates as he gets ready to potentially take on this role.
What kind of lessons do you think are most relevant here?
Well, Robert Kennedy's time as Attorney General, that's a powerful example of how the DOJ can be a force for good, a champion for civil rights and social justice.
Yeah, Kennedy's legacy is huge. But he also faced a lot of opposition, people who thought he was going too far, exceeding his authority.
True. But his courage, his absolute commitment to justice, it still inspires people today.
It's a reminder that the Attorney General can be a powerful voice for people who don't have one, a defender of those without power.
But it also shows us that the DOJ can be misused, right?
Yeah.
It can be a tool for political gain or personal benefit.
You're thinking of John Mitchell, I bet.
Yeah.
His involvement in Watergate, that's a classic cautionary tale about what happens when you politicize the Justice Department.
Exactly. It reminds us that the Attorney General's loyalty should be to the Constitution and the rule of law, not to any individual or political party.
And then you have Alberto Gonzalez, whose time as Attorney General under President Bush was full of controversy. The treatment of detainees in the War on Terror, firing U.S. attorneys for what looked like political reasons, that sort of thing.
Right. Gonzalez's story highlights how important transparency, accountability, and due process are within the Justice Department.
It reminds us that even during a crisis, we have to uphold those principles of justice and fairness.
These historical examples, they give us real insight into how complex this Attorney General role is, the challenges that come with it, the pitfalls to avoid.
They do. And they help us understand what the consequences of Gates's leadership might be, both for the Justice Department and for the whole country.
So as we move forward, it's really important to keep these historical lessons in mind. Learn from the successes and the failures of those who came before.
Absolutely. History can be a powerful guide, showing us what to do and what not to do.
And speaking of history, it's worth noting that Gates is being nominated at a time when we're really politically divided. Trust in our institutions is like at an all-time low.
Very true. That adds another layer of complexity to this whole story.
It does.
Gates is going to have to find a way to navigate this polarized environment, build bridges, restore public trust in the Justice Department.
That's a big ask.
It is, but it's not impossible. It'll take a commitment to transparency, accountability, fairness. He has to show, through what he does, that he's putting the country's interests ahead of partisan politics.
And he has to do it in a way that inspires confidence and earns the respect of both his supporters and his critics.
It's a delicate balance, no doubt about it, but it's essential for a healthy democracy.
Well, I think we've covered a lot of ground here. Gates' background, the potential challenges, the historical context of his nomination.
We have. It's been a really interesting and thought-provoking discussion.
It really has. Now, as we wrap up this part of our deep dive, I want to leave our listeners with one final thought.
Okay, what is it?
I think it's important to remember that the Justice Department is more than just an institution. It's an idea that's right there in the Constitution, shaped by generations of Americans who fought for justice and equality.
That's a great way to put it. And it's an idea worth fighting for, no matter who's in charge.
Absolutely. And it's an idea that we as citizens have a responsibility to uphold.
I couldn't agree more. We all have a part to play in making sure the Justice Department lives up to its ideals.
Okay, so we've looked at the past, analyzed the present, and thought about the future. But there's one more crucial piece of this story we need to address.
Oh. What's that?
The human element. We've talked about Gates as a politician, as a potential attorney general, but not really as a person.
That's a good point. Who is Matt Gates beyond the headlines? What drives him? What are his values?
Those are important questions. And they're questions we'll need to explore more deeply if we want to truly understand the man who might soon be leading the Justice Department.
I agree. It's time to look at the personal side of things, get a sense of the individual behind the political mask.
And that's what we'll do in the final part of our deep dive. We'll look at Gates' upbringing, his influences, his passions, what he believes in. We'll try to paint a portrait of the man at the center of this political storm.
I'm interested to hear it. I'm ready to dive deeper into that human side of this story.
Me too. And I think our listeners will be too.
It is. And it's likely to ruffle some feathers internationally. But it also reflects a worldview that resonates with a certain segment of the American population, those who feel that the U.S. has been taken advantage of on the global stage.
And Gates, as a strong Trump ally, seems to be tapping into that sentiment. He's not afraid to shake things up, to challenge the status quo, both domestically and internationally.
That's what makes this nomination so intriguing. It's not just about filling a cabinet position. It's about potentially shifting the entire direction of the Justice Department and its role in American society.
Okay, so big potential changes on the horizon. But change, even positive change, can be unsettling. What are some of the concerns people are voicing?
One of the main concerns, echoed in articles from the New York Times and CNN, is that Gates might be too partisan, too willing to use the DOJ to pursue a political agenda. Some worry he might target political opponents or protect allies.
So basically the fear is that he'll weaponize the DOJ in the way he accuses the previous administration of doing.
Yeah.
That's definitely something people are sensitive to.
Absolutely. And it's a legitimate concern. The Justice Department is supposed to be above partisan politics, upholding the law impartially. Any perception of bias or favoritism can damage its credibility and erode public trust.
That's a heavy responsibility.
Yeah.
How do you think Gates would address that if he's confirmed? How can he reassure people that he'll be a fair and impartial attorney general?
Well, actions speak louder than words. He'll need to demonstrate through his decisions and appointments that he's committed to upholding the rule of law, regardless of political affiliations.
So appointing career prosecutors with a reputation for integrity, focusing on cases that are clearly in the public interest, things like that.
Exactly. Building a team that reflects a commitment to fairness and impartiality will be crucial for Gates to establish trust and allay concerns about politicization.
It sounds like he's got a tough road ahead, balancing his loyalty to Trump and his own strong beliefs with the need to be seen as a fair arbiter of justice.
It's a delicate balancing act, no doubt, but it's not impossible.
And, you know, it's not just about convincing skeptics. It's also about rallying support from those who believe in his vision.
You're right. Gates needs to energize his base, those who see him as a champion for their values and concerns.
So how does he do that while also reaching out to those who are wary of his appointment?
It's a tightrope walk. He'll need to articulate a clear vision for the DOJ that resonates with both his supporters and those who are on the fence. A vision that emphasizes things like law and order, protecting American interests, and ensuring fairness and accountability within the justice system.
So finding that common ground, that shared sense of purpose that transcends partisan divides, that's a big ask.
It is, but it's not unprecedented. History is full of examples of leaders who've managed to bridge divides and bring people together around a shared vision.
Okay, so let's assume for a moment that Gates is confirmed. What might his first 100 days look like? What actions might he prioritize?
Based on his statements and actions, it's likely that he'd move quickly to address some of the issues he's been most vocal about. We could see a shift in resources away from federal agencies and towards state and local law enforcement.
So putting more power in the hands of local communities, giving them more control over how they police their own streets.
Exactly. And that aligns with his emphasis on states' rights and his belief that law enforcement should be more responsive to local needs.
And what about his calls to abolish the FBI? Will we see that happen right out of the gate?
That's highly unlikely. Abolishing an agency as large and entrenched as the FBI would be a massive undertaking, requiring congressional approval and facing significant pushback from within the law enforcement community.
So maybe more of a gradual restructuring, shifting priorities and resources.
That's more realistic. He might start by appointing new leadership at the FBI, individuals who share his vision for a more streamlined and accountable agency.
And what about his criticism of the DOJ's handling of investigations, particularly those involving political figures? How might he approach that?
That's where things get really tricky. he'll need to be very careful to avoid any perception of bias or favoritism.
So no sweeping investigations of political opponents or dropping charges against allies.
Exactly. He'll need to demonstrate that he's applying the law fairly and impartially, regardless of political affiliations.
That's a delicate balance to strike, and it's one that will be closely scrutinized by both his supporters and his critics.
Absolutely. Every decision he makes will be analyzed for signs of partisanship or overreach.
It sounds like he's walking a tightrope. On the one hand, he wants to shake things up, to implement a bold new vision for the DOJ. But on the other hand, he needs to be mindful of the need for fairness, impartiality, and respect for the rule of law.
You've hit the nail on the head. Those are the competing forces that will shape his tenure as Attorney General if he's confirmed.
And it's those competing forces that make this such a fascinating story to follow. It's not just about one man. It's about the future of the Justice Department and its role in American society.
You're right. This nomination has the potential to reshape the legal landscape for years to come.
Right. So we've covered the politics, the history, the potential challenges, the weight of this whole nomination. But to really get what a Matt Gaetz Justice Department might look like, I think we need to understand the guy himself a bit better.
You're right. We focused on what he's done, what he's said. But what about those core values, those motivations? What's he like as a person? Beyond the politics.
Well, he's not your typical politician, that's for sure. Doesn't shy away from a fight, quick with a joke, seems to enjoy shaking things up. Some might even call him a maverick.
Yeah, I think that's fair. And that maverick quality, it's what makes him both attractive and a little worrying to different people. His supporters, they see a bold leader, someone not afraid to challenge the way things are. But his critics worry he might be too impulsive, too willing to bend the rules.
It's interesting, though, even those who disagree with him, they often admit he's smart, a really effective communicator. He's got this knack for connecting with people, even if they don't see eye to eye politically.
That's important, for sure. He's a skilled politician, no doubt. He knows how to build relationships, get people on his side, and get things done. And if he's confirmed as Attorney General, those skills are going to be crucial. He'll need to build consensus, work with both sides, convince those who aren't so sure about him.
So maybe that maverick thing, that willingness to go against the grain, could actually be a good thing in this role. I mean, the Justice Department's got some big problems. Maybe it needs someone who's not afraid to think outside the box to find solutions.
That's an interesting way to look at it. Maybe Gaetz's unconventional style is exactly what's needed to shake things up, bring some real reform.
And it's not like he's a complete outsider, right? He's been in Congress, he understands how laws get made, and he's got a deep understanding of the legal system.
True. He's not coming in totally green. He's got experience, knowledge, and a strong network of allies.
And don't forget, he's a big defender of the Constitution. He believes in the rule of law, in individual liberty, in protecting everyone's rights.
Those are values that resonate with a lot of people across the political spectrum, and those are values that he absolutely has to uphold as Attorney General.
So maybe, just maybe, Matt Gaetz is the right person for this job at this particular time. Maybe that combination of experience, intelligence, and determination is what's needed to lead the Justice Department into a new era.
It's definitely something to consider, and it's something that's going to be debated and scrutinized heavily in the coming weeks and months.
Well, that's what we do here at the Deep Dive, right? Explore the tough questions, look at things from different angles, and encourage our listeners to think critically and come to their own conclusions.
Absolutely. And with this nomination, there are no easy answers. It's a complex story that's still unfolding. You'll have to wait and see what the ultimate impact is.
But one thing's for sure, it's a story that's got everyone's attention. And it's a story we'll keep following closely.
And as always, we encourage you all to join us on this journey. Stay informed, stay engaged, and stay curious.
Thanks for taking this deep dive with us. We'll be back soon with another fascinating look at the issues shaping our world.